Hello, everyone, and welcome to the audio news from Archaeologica. I'm Laura Kennedy. Rick Pettigrew is away on assignment with our tour of Iran, so I'll be telling you about four of the best stories posted online this past week by our partner, Archaeologica.org. Here are the headlines in archaeological and historical news from October 16th through the 22nd, 2022. Our first story this week takes us to Syria, where archaeologists have excavated a spectacular mosaic from the Byzantine Empire that features events from the Trojan War, portrayals of the demigod Hercules, as well as depictions of the Roman god Neptune. As reported in Live Science, the mural dates to the 4th century AD, after the Western Roman Empire split from the Eastern Roman Empire, the latter also known as the Byzantine Empire. Many people living under the Byzantine Empire continued to see themselves as Romans and continued to refer to their empire as the Roman Empire. According to the General Directorate of Antiquities and Museums, a Syrian government agency, excavators discovered the 65.5-foot-long by 20-foot-wide mural in Rastan, a town in central Syria. The agency excavated the mural in a building that was held by various revolutionary factions of the civil war until 2018, when Syrian government forces reclaimed the town. The mural includes depictions of the Trojan War, a legendary conflict fought between the Greeks and the people of the ancient city of Troy in what is now Turkey. Some names of Greek leaders who fought in the war have been found in the mosaic. The events were described in the well-known epic poems The Iliad and The Odyssey by Homer. The mosaic also shows the demigod Hercules slaying Hippolyta, the queen of the Amazon warriors of Greek and Roman mythology, after he went to retrieve her belt as the ninth of his 12 labors. Additionally, the depiction of the Roman god Neptune may include up to 40 of his mistresses. Humam Saad, the Associate Director of Excavation and Archaeological Research at the Directorate, reports that the type of the building that once held the mosaic has not yet been identified. The ancient ruins under the building will undergo further excavation. Saad noted that while the mosaic is not the oldest ever discovered, it is rare in its completeness. Many of Syria's ancient artifacts were destroyed or looted during past years of conflict. The country's 6 UNESCO World Heritage sites have all sustained damage as a result of the civil war, making discoveries like this one all the more fortunate for researchers and posterity. Our next story takes us to Østfold in southeast Norway, where a new study describes how a grave from the late Viking Age was apparently modeled after one of the most remarkable graves of the Roman Age in Norway centuries earlier. The Hun burial site in Østfold occupies an anciently wealthy cultural landscape with over 145 visible burial mounds spanning almost 2,000 years from the late Bronze Age, around 1100 BC, to the end of the Viking Age, around 1050 BC. It contains three large sites. The western site contains graves dating to ancient Roman times, the Migration Period, the Iron Age, and the Viking Age. On this site, researchers have found extensive similarities between two graves built hundreds of years apart. The oldest of the two graves dates to the Roman era and has been dubbed Stubhøj, while the later grave, designed in likeness, is from the Viking Age and is called Stora Vikingegrav, or Large Viking Grave. Study author Julie Lundt from the Department of Archaeology, Conservation and History at the University of Oslo has been investigating how Vikings connected with the past in various graves and artifacts deposits. Through her research, she has discovered that different Viking Age groups made distinct references to different pasts. According to Lundt, Vikings used the past in more subtle ways than previously assumed. Notably, they distinguished a near past from a more distant past. Examples of this are seen in female graves where heirlooms such as jewelry were laid down, while in other graves such as Stora Vikingegrav, items were included that copy objects dating to the Roman period, 700 years earlier. Lundt noted that distinguishing between near and more distant pasts is probably not seen as unusual by the modern mindset. However, connecting to specific parts of the past at a time when past contexts were little documented gives insight into the late Vikings' conceptual perception of history in relation to their present. Not many known Viking graves copy from Roman-era graves. Researchers are aware of just two other burial sites in Norway comparable to the graves at the Hun site. The site was in continuous use for thousands of years, but the Vikings chose to copy the most spectacular Roman-era grave. This suggests that the Roman Age was a past to which they especially wished to invoke. According to the study, the late Viking-era grave was intentionally meant to look ancient, both internally and externally. The study proposes that Stora Vikingegrav was built as a replica of the ancient Roman style. Externally, the analysts found, a common feature of the graves is that they were both built on ideal parts of the site. The Roman grave was built on top of a ridge. The Viking grave was built on a slope of that same ridge. Furthermore, both graves are encircled by similarly sized stones, known as curbstones, which date to the Neolithic, and which have been revealed as the burial mounds eroded over time. Adding curbstones to the burial mounds gave the graves an older look, apparently also a later Viking goal with their copycat graves. The Vikings also copied from inside the Roman Age grave. Both graves feature a full range of weapons, shields, rare drinking horns, and riding spurs. Another common feature is that both are skeleton graves, with furnished burial chambers, as opposed to the more common earlier Viking practice of cremation after death. According to Lund, to investigate Stora Vikingegrav, research has focused on impacts of material culture on people. When humans reuse elements from the past, they make that past present again. Using the past by copying a Roman-era grave suggests that later Vikings were not merely trying to make their gravesites look more ancient, but that this more ancient past formed part of their then-present self-identity. This research was published in Archaeological Dialogues and builds upon previous work published in the Cambridge Archaeological Journal. Our third story takes us to Siberia, where a new study provides a genetic snapshot of a Neanderthal community frozen in time. Little is known about the group size or social organization of Neanderthal communities. To explore the social structure of Neanderthals, researchers turned their attention to southern Siberia, a region that has been valuable for ancient DNA research, including for the discovery of Denisovan hominin remains at the famous Denisova Cave. The first genetic clues to Neanderthals were obtained 25 years ago from a fragment of mitochondrial DNA. Subsequently, mitochondrial DNA studies and genome-wide data from 18 individuals have sketched a broad genomic history of the Neanderthals. That research reveals the existence of many genetically distinct groups between about 430,000 and 40,000 years ago. Researchers focused on Neanderthal remains in the Chagraskaya and Okladnikov caves, located within 100 kilometers of the Denisova cave. The Neanderthal community living in the Altai foothills from 54,000 years ago consisted of around 10 to 20 individuals. Many of them were closely related, including a father and a daughter. Chagraskaya Cave has been excavated over the last 14 years by researchers from the Institute of Archaeology and Ethnography, Russian Academy of Sciences. Besides several hundred thousand bone tools and animal bones, they also recovered more than 80 bone and tooth fragments from Neanderthals. This is one of the largest collections of these fossil humans in the world. The 17 remains came from 13 Neanderthal individuals, 7 men and 6 women. 8 were adults and 5 were children or young adolescents. In their mitochondrial DNA, the researchers found several heteroplasmies shared between individuals. Heteroplasmies are a special kind of genetic variant that only persists for a small number of generations. Among these remains were those of a Neanderthal father and his teenage daughter. The researchers also found a pair of second-degree relatives, a young boy and an adult female, perhaps a cousin, aunt, or grandmother. The combination of the heteroplasmies and related individuals strongly suggests that the Neanderthals in Chagraskaya Cave must have lived and died at around the same time. Loritz Sko, an author of this study, asserts that given the individuals recorded in these fossils lived at the same time, means that they likely came from the same social community. Thus, close genetic connections can be used to infer aspects of the social organization of a Neanderthal community for the first time. The study found low genetic diversity in this Neanderthal community, consistent with a group size of 10 to 20 individuals. However, Neanderthal communities were not completely isolated. Comparing the genetic diversity of Y chromosomes, inherited father to son, with the mitochondrial DNA diversity, inherited from mothers, enabled the researchers to determine whether mainly men or women moved between communities. They found that mitochondrial genetic diversity much exceeded Y chromosome genetic diversity. This suggests that Neanderthal communities were largely linked by female migration. Despite the proximity to Denisova Cave, these migrations do not appear to have involved Denisovans. The researchers found no evidence of Denisovan gene flow in the Chagriskaya Neanderthals in the 20,000 years before these individuals lived. This week's final story brings us to Norwich, England, where Arminghall Henge, a 5,000-year-old timber circle burnt down during a Neolithic midwinter solstice, has been re-excavated for the first time since the 1930s. According to archaeologist Andy Hutchison, with University of East Anglia's Sainsbury Institute, the henge was first discovered by a pilot in 1929 while surveying for ancient monuments. Following the excavation, researchers now believe it was intentionally set alight during a winter gathering. The team believes that this created a bonfire that could have burned for days. As reported to BBC, radiocarbon dating in 2010 suggested the henge was built between 3525 and 2700 BC. The construction of the henge would have required a substantial labor force to bring timbers to the site and to put them in place. 8 5.5-ton posts, each about 1 meter in diameter, were sunk into the ground. Placed on the mound, the posts were at least 10 meters above the ground, so that the circle would have looked monumental. Arminghall Henge was built on land above a valley where three rivers meet. Approached from the river valley, the henge would have looked impressive. Hutchison's research suggests the site was situated so as to view the position of the setting sun on midwinter solstices. He believes it was intentionally built on raised ground to be easily seen and near a confluence of rivers for ease of access. According to Hutchison, the 12-meter timber circle was surrounded later by an earthwork henge 76 meters in diameter. Charcoal was found in the post holes and in the inner earthwork ditches' lower layers. The team believes that the timber circle was deliberately burnt, its remains added to the earthwork monument on a seasonal basis, and is thus related to winter solstices. That wraps up the news for this week. For more stories and daily news updates, visit Archaeologica on the World Wide Web at archaeologica.org, where all the news is history. Also, be sure to check out our new video streaming subscription platform, Heritage Broadcasting Service, at heritagetac.org. I'm Laura Kennedy, and I'll see you next week.
This has been the audio news from Archaeologica, presented by the Archaeology Channel. Be sure to check back with us next week for our next edition. You can spread the word about the audio news by clicking on the Share This link on our audio news webpage, or just by telling your friends. Thanks very much for stopping by.